Today's daf is Zvachim Daf Ayin Beis. Zvachim Daf Ayin Beis is one of those dafim you could do in 4 minutes or you could do in 4 months. It's a lot to say, not so difficult to read though. Anyway, we're holding on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. Before we get into the primary sugya that we're going to be dealing with on Daf Ayin Beis, we're still holding on Daf Ayin Aleph Amud Beis. The Mishnah had discussed various cases where there was a taroves, where behemos that were karbonos got mixed in with chatos hamesos or with a sharaniskal, with various types of karbonos that are asur bahana'a, and we discussed that the idea that they're not going to be batel and that they're all going to be asur, that yamusu kulan, and in the first case of the Mishnah they all had to die. So the Gemara had asked, that didn't we already learn this? We already have this from another Mishnah. We are Tanin Chadazimna. We already know this from the Mishnah Maseches Temura, that anything that's also Gamim Mizbech, Osun Bekol Shehin. They asked even Bekol Shehin. So the Gemara had said, no, maybe one would have thought from there that it's only the Gavoa. Avla Hedyot, maybe you would think it's not so. And the Gemara had said, maybe there's a difference between Usurena and Lavi Surena. So says the Gemara, I think we left off. Two lines from the bottom, I think that's where we left off. The hedyot nami tanalei ve'elu asurin va'osrin b'chol shein yai nesach v'avod chavim. So says Gemara, it says mesach savod zara a mishnah about hedyot. So how can you say that we're making a tzrichasa, that you need two mishnayos, one to teach me the gavawa and one to teach me the hedyot? You have a mishnah avod zara that isurei anar are not batel barov and they're osur for a hedyot. So why do you have to say it over here again by chatos hamesos and sharan niskal? It's already explicit in the mishnah in regards to a hedyot. So says Gemara, Tzrichi, di'ime hasam hava amina lehedyot, aval gvoa ema lo nifsadina lekulu. So no, had I only had that mission of Avodah Zarah, I would have said that that's only true when it comes to non-kadshim items, but things that are kadshim, I would think you should do some sort of, whatever we can, to try to make it mutter, and make a batel barov, so that you're not going to be mafsid kadshim. We don't want kadshim to lose out. Vime hachad, had we only had this mission over here by karbanos, hava amina hani mili kachim de ma'is, aval chulin de lo ma'is, emisurein aliftul beruba. I would think that that's only true that we're going to say that it's not batel barov when it comes to kachim, because it's disgusting to go bring something that's so usur, that's so terrible, like a sharaniskal or something of that nature, to bring it and allow it to be used for kachim. But chulin, where it's not so ma'is, maybe it should be like any Isra'na, that should be batel barov. So tzricha, therefore, I need to be told, both Mishnayis, to let me know that regardless of whether you're dealing with kachim or whether you're dealing with chulin, it's not going to be batel barov. So frek the Gemara, now this is where the bitel barov sugya really begins. As we mentioned yesterday when we started this perek, that when it comes to the Mishnayis that we're going to be dealing with in this perek, there's an underlying assumption that in all these tarovos, in all these mixtures, there's an underlying assumption that there is no bitul barov. The question is, what do you do about all the problems and all the mixtures? But one of the things that we never entertain doing in the Mishnayis is just say batel. Why don't you just say, okay, it's one problematic animal, it's mixed in with 10,000 non-problematic animals, why don't we just say batel? Midaraisa chad betray batel, midaraisa, even you have a concept that if you mix two kosher hamburgers with one non-kosher hamburger, so it's batel barov. That's Rashi points out, that's derived from the pasuk Achrei Rabim Lahatos. Achrei Rabim Lahatos tells us several things. It tells us Azlinon Basaruba, and it tells us Bitzel Barov. Azlinon Basaruba is the standard context of Achrei Rabim Lahatos, because Achrei Rabim Lahatos is said in regards to Dayanim, that if you have Dayanim on a Beis Din, and the majority of them vote one way, and the minority vote the other way, so Azlinon Basaruba, you follow the majority opinion. But there's another din that we learn from Achrei Rabim Lahatos, not just that Azlinon Basaruba, that you follow the majority, but that batel barov, that the minority becomes nullified in the majority. So if Beis Din issues a psak, it's not, let's say you had a Sanhedrin of 71 judges and you had a vote 40-31. So if Beis Din issues a psak, it's not a psak of 40 judges. It's a psak of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, 71 judges. And that's because the idea of Bittul Barov, not just as Lina Basaruba, that we follow the psak of the majority, but it becomes the psak of the entire entity. So that's the concept of Bittul Barov that we have all over Shas. So the Gemara asks the question, V'niftalu Baruba, why don't we assume that it's going to be Bittul Barov in our Mishnah? Why do we work with the starting point of no Bittul Barov? We should assume that it's Bittul Barov. So on those two words, there's a lot we can speak about already. Mida Raisa, anytime, as we just mentioned, anytime you have something that's Aser mixed with Rov Heter, that halacha is that it's Bittul Barov, that the Iser becomes Bittul. However, the Chacham War goes, there are several situations where you have Iser mixed with Heter, that because of the Chashivus of the Iser, of the item that's Aser, it's not going to become Bittul Barov. And specifically four cases, most of which we're going to discuss at some point today. Number one, Davar Shebeminyan. Number two, Balei Chayim. Number three, Beria. And number four, Chaticha Arui L'Skabed. What do those things mean? So Davar Shebeminyan, we're going to discuss explicitly in our Gemara today. Something that, because it's so chashuv, people are in the habit of counting it in a very precise manner. Meaning, I don't sell you a pound of it, a bag of it. I sell you a specific number. That's Davar Shebeminyan. Something that people only count when they sell it. So obviously, if they're counting out exactly how many, right, you wouldn't sell a bag of diamonds. Right, you sell by the number. You sell exactly. Well, diamonds is different. You sell by size also. But I'm saying something that you would always sell by the given number. You would never just happen to throw an extra one or two or ten in without noticing. So that's a davar shebeminyan. Such a thing, something that's so chashuv, that's a davar shebeminyan, is not batel barov. That's a din derabanan. Midaraisa, it is batel barov. Midarabanan, it's not batel barov. Second situation where something's not batel barov, also very nogeya to our sugya, Balei Chayim, the living things that are usher, that get mixed with living things that are mutter, are not batel barov, because living creatures are considered to be too chashuv to become batel. That din we're going to see in the Gemara as well. The third din is beria, something that is a complete entity, is also not batel barov. Now, the real din of beria happens to be a concept midaraisa. The concept of beria midaraisa relates to hilchos brachos, or chiyuv malkus, let's say. Hilchos brachos, not daraisa, but chiyuv malkus, amachalos asuras. Let's say there's an iser to eat a kazayis of a particular food. If I eat a beria, I eat an entire entity, even though it's less than a kazayis, midaraisa, I'm chayiv. So let's say I'm not allowed to eat a kazayis of shratzim. There's an iser to eat bugs. So I eat a kazayis of bugs, I'm going to be chayiv several malkios. That's one of the surim that the Gemara says, that it's not just one malkios. There are lots of different violations, lots of different isurim when you eat bugs. What if I eat one bug, and it's very tiny, it's just a tiny bug on the lettuce, I just eat one little bug, so if it's a complete entity, if it's a whole bug, I'm chayiv malkios for that as well, even though it's less than a kazayis. Now, if I eat a half a bug, or two halves of a bug, so that's not a beria. Neither half is a full entity. So then it's not going to be aser. That's why some of the kashrus agencies, at least, rely on that when it comes to frozen vegetables. They say that when in the freezing process, the bugs crack apart. And and it's not that they're cleaned out, but you're never eating the kazayis of them. They're batel, and they crack apart. They fall into little pieces. So therefore, it's going to be batel. Question is whether that's a violation of bittul isur l'chadchila to go and freeze it. So it depends. If you're freezing it to be mevatel yisur, then it almost definitely is a violation of bittul isur l'chadchila. If you're not freezing it to be mevatel yisur, it just happens to be that you're freezing it for your own sake, and then the isur happens to be batel. It's probably not bittul isur l'chadchila. But that's the din of beria midaraisa. Midarabanan, there's a din of beria as well, and that is when it comes to bittul barov. Midaraisa, as we said, anything that's aser is batel barov. Midarabanan, an item that's a beria shlema, is not going to be batal barov, right? That's the din of Beria. And the fourth exception that the Chachamim made to the rule of bitul barov is chaticha haru'iyah l'skabed, which we have to discuss on today's daf as well. Something that's a chaticha chashuva, a chashuva piece of meat that you could be mechabed a guest with, that a guest comes and you give it to him as a way of showing kavod by giving it to a guest. So that's not batal also because of its chashivos. That din is a din in the Gemara Maseches Chulin, and all of those things relate to our sugya, because again, our sugya is asking one fundamental question. With all the tarovas and our Mishnah, whatever happened to Bitul Barov? Why do we not say Bitul Barov? So either the Gemara or the Rishonim have to deal with, well, does our case fit into any of these four categories? Does it fit into all of these four categories? And we have to discuss each and every one. So first thing, Tosfos over here says, well, let's start with the first, well, not with the first one, the third one we mentioned. Tosfos says, Beria. What about Beria? Isn't a live animal a karban, a shor niskal, a chatos hamesos? These are big live animals. So isn't that a Beria? Isn't that a complete entity? How could the Gemara even ask, let it be batal barov? This is a classic example of a Beria. So how you answer this question of the Rishonim of Tosfos will relate very much to how you understand the concept and the exact gedarim of Beria. Tosfos over here and the Rush say that Shara Niskal and Chatos and Mesos are not a Beria. They do not fit into the category of Beria, because the Geder of Beria is both in regards to the Doraisa Geder of Beria, of being Chayiv for eating a Kol Shu, and both in regards to the Drabanan Din of Beria, that it's not Batal Barov, is Dafka by an Isser, that the Torah makes the Isser, the Shame Isser, is on a specific item that has a Shame Ha'etzem Bishlei Musa, that's called something when it's complete, and when you break it up, it's no longer called by that name. That's when we say, the Torah calls it by a certain name, and that name would go away when you break it up. So it must be that the Torah was makbid on eating it or having it in its getting benefit from it in its complete form. But if it's not in its complete form, it loses that shame, and memela, that's not the iser of the Torah. For instance, the Torah asks an ov tameh. Now, whether it's very large or whether it's small, it's called an ov tameh. When you eat an ov tameh shalim, you violated the iser of eating an ov tameh, even if it's less than a kazayis, if it's a very tiny bird. So you chayiv b'kolshu, as opposed to when the Torah asks something where the achila, it's just a macholos asuros, but it's not on a guf shalim, like the iser of achilas dam or achilas chelev. It's not on a full animal of chelev, or on a full, it's on eating dam, eating chelev. So what's the simon? How do you know when the Torah was makbid on the entity in its entirety versus being makbid on just eating a piece of it? So it's totally on the following, says Tosfos. If you were to split the item in half, does it still have its shame? If when you still split the item in half, it still has its shame, so then you know that the Isra was not on the Dover Shalem necessarily, because even when you split it up, the shame is still there. Only in a situation where if you split it up, it loses the original shame, then you know that the Isser in the Torah was said dafka on the item Bishle Muso, and that's something that would have chashivos of a Beria. Again, the example of Tame. You divide up an Ov Tame, you split it into two, it's each chaticha, each piece is not called an Ov Tame. You know what it's called? A piece of an Ov Tame. So it loses its shame when you divide it up. If it loses its shame when you divide it up, must be that when it's Bishle Musa, when it's complete, that was a Beria. Giranasha. You divide a Giranasha up, it's not called a Giranasha anymore. It's called a Chelek of a Giranasha. So when the Torah asked Giranasha, the Torah must have meant a Giranasha Bishle Musa. Aver min achai. When it's shalem, it's called an aver. When it's not shalem, when you cut it up, it's called a chaticha of an aver min achai. That's on the one hand. Those are all items that you would apply the concept of beria to, because all of those items, when you split them up, they lose their shame. However, an isra chelev is not set on any davar shalem umesuyam. It's not said on any complete known item, because any chelek, any little piece of chelev is called chelev. It could be called small, it could be a small piece of chelev, a large piece, it's called chelev. So the isser is not on a davar shalem, the isser is of chelev, the isser of dam as well, right? It's not on a davar shalem, it's just dam, it's on dam in general. So that's why, say Tosos and the Rush, that's why Beshara Niskal and Bechatos HaMesos, there's no din of Beria in regards to Bitl Barov, in regards to the fact that a Beria is not Batl Barov. Because the Isser is said on Achilas Basar Shara Niskal or Basar Vechatos Behema. It's not on the Behema Shlema. There's no Isser on a complete Shara Niskal or a complete Chatas Amesa. The Isser is to eat basar of a Shara Niskal or basar of a Chatas Amesa. When you have a little bit of basar, it's still called basar of a Shara Niskal. You could cut it up as much as you want, it's still called basar of a Shara Niskal or a Chatas Amesa. And therefore, it wouldn't fit the category of Beria. Memela, the Gemara is justified in asking the question that let it be Asr, that it should be, that let it be Batal, rather. The Gemara is justified in asking the question. The Gemara does not have to contend with the din of Beria. However, the Chavos Das points out, the Chavos Das is the Nesivos' commentary on Yeridaya, so the Chavos Das writes in Simen Kuf that there is in fact a Machlokas Rishonim in regards to the Geder of this Klal of if you're Mechalik Ve'in Shmolav. As we just pointed out, Tosos and the Rush say that the Geder is that if you take anything that's any Isser and you cut it up, would it lose its shame Isser? Right? That's how they defined it. So the and even in the camp of Rishonim that agree to that concept, that the definition of Beria is if you cut it up, it loses its shame Isser, there's a further Machlokas Rishonim, what it means it loses its shame, it loses its name. Does it lose its halachic name, or does it lose its practical name, what people call it? Tosus and the Rush assume that it loses its shame of Isser in the Torah, that if you split it up, it no longer has its shame Isser, or Tzipor Temeya. You split it up, you can't call each Chelek a Tzipor Temeya anymore. Giranasha, it's no longer called a Giranasha. It loses its shame Isser in the Torah. Chelev and Dam, you split it up, they don't lose the shame Isser in the Torah. The Rashba, however, accepts the idea and principle that yes, Beria means something that if you cut it into two, it loses its shame, but he says, no, it's not the shame of the Isser, it's the shame b'metzius. It's the shame of just what it is, that anytime you cut it up, that it's going to be, that the name that it's created with is lost, that's called a Beria. What's a nafkamina? So nafkamina is, the Chavos Das points out, you have a chita shel tevel. You have a stalk of wheat that's tevel. Now, when you cut it into two, so it's no longer a chita. It's still tevel. So according to Tosos and the Rush, so when you cut it up, it didn't lose its shame Isser. So if it doesn't lose its shame Isser, so then it must not have a din of a Beria. According to the Rashba, when you cut it up, it lost its shame. It's no longer a chita. Now it's a piece of a chita. It's no longer a stalk of wheat. So if it's no longer a stalk of wheat, then that's a simin that as a chita shalim, it did have a din of Beria. So that's the that would be the nafkamina between Tosos and the Rashba in regards to how to define when you split something up. That is one approach as to why we don't discuss Beria in our sugya. But again, the Gemara does not discuss why the animal is not a Beria. So one approach is what we said, Tosus and the Rush, that it's not a Beria because the a Bal Chai, when you cut it up, the Shara Niskal, when you cut it up, is still the Shara Niskal, so therefore it doesn't have a din of Beria. There is another approach. The Rashba and the Ritva quote another Daya, that the reason that Shara Niskal is not called Beria, and therefore it's not going to be batel, and the reason we don't say that's the reason that it's not batel barov is because something is not a beria unless when it originally came into the world it already had an isser, it was already bechlal, it already was usser. For instance, a gid anasha, when the animal is born it has a gid anasha, the gid anasha is usser from its birth. A tzipor tmeya, right, a non-kosher bird. From the time it's born, it already is non-kosher. Shara Niskal, Nevela, Those things are not Aser. Those things are things that became Aser. Those things weren't born Aser. Sure, in this school, it's just a regular animal. And then one day it decided to go and kill a person. So therefore, it became Aser. They had a Gemar Din and it became Aser. Anytime something becomes Aser, so then it's not going to fit in the category of Beria. That's how the Rishba, the Rashba, and the Ritva suggest. This is Paskin the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that Beria is only something that's Nesar Mitchilas Briyaso. However, how you define Tchilas Briyaso is a major machlokas in the Achronim. The Plesi in Simin Kuf and the Minchas Kohen in Hilchstat Roves point out that it's Dvarim Kipshutam, that the Beria is only when it was originally created, it came into this world, it was Aser, and it never had a matzav of being Mutter. Nevelash or Aniskal, which were once Mutter, are not a Beria. That's the Pasha Pshat. However, other Achronim understand differently. The Chavis Das, the Chalkas Yoav. Chalkas Yoav was a Talmud of the Avnei Nezer. So the Chavis Das and the Chalkas Yoav say that no, that it's not Tali whether it ever had a Zman of Heter. The Chilik is something that the Isser is Ba Migufo Umidchilas Briyaso, meaning the Sibas Isser was there the whole time, even though the Isser might not be Chal until a while later, versus something where the Isser is not Migufo, it's just rather something that happened to it. It's not something that was inherent about the item, it's something that happened to it that made it Aser, but not about whether it ever had a time of Heter or not. So Lamai Nafkamina, they sound very similar. So Nafkamina is, what about the tala'im, the worms that you find in rotted out fruits? So according to the Gemara in Chulin, they're not usher from the time that they're created, because that while they're still in the fruit that they were born in, that they grew in, the way the Gemara understands is that they spontaneously generate inside the fruits, whatever that means. But while they're in the fruit that they grew in, they're not usher. They only become usher once they're poresh from the pre. So if you go with the geder, anything that had a shas heter, well, these do have a shas heter. They have a shas heter when they first come into the world, they're first in the fruit. So it does have a shas heter. So mele would be considered, it would not be considered a beria. But if you go with the geder, that's something that's aser migufo. It's an inherent iser. It's not something that happened to it that made it aser. It's not that the worm in the apple became aser because it touched something or it wasn't slaughtered properly. No, it was inherently aser. It just wasn't ready to take on the shame iser until it's separated from the pre. But it's ba migufo. It's an iser that's inherent in the item itself. So then if you go with that geder, so then it should not, then it should have a din of a beria, because it is inherently aser. So that's the machlokas achronim, exactly what the geder of the din of beria is. Obviously, there's a lot more Torah on the din of beria. When you learn Yaradeya, you can spend days on the sugya of beria. But okay, that's what's not mentioned in our Gemara. The Gemara just said two words. So far, we had two words. V'niftalu beruba. That's all the Gemara asks. Let it be batel berov. So we wanted to say, what do you mean? What about Beria? Fine. So says the Gemara, V'chi teima chashivi v'labatli, lest you say, no, it can't be batal because it's too chashuv. Hanich lemad yamar kol shadar kolim no shenino. El lemad yamar es shadar kolim no shenino ma'ik lememar. Well, that only works if you hold that something that's then you're going to be okay, meaning you can understand why it's not going to be batel berov if you hold anything that's even sometimes counted is called a davar shebeminyan and is therefore not batel berov. But what if you hold, in order to be considered a davar shebeminyan, remember we had four exceptions to batel berov, one of them was davar shebeminyan, so this one the Gemara is dealing with explicitly. What if you hold the exception of davar shebeminyan only applies to things that are exclusively counted, that you would never sell in any way other than by number, than counting them out one by one? So then the animals, sometimes you'll just sell a pen full of animals. You're not necessarily going to sell one by one. Very often you will. Very often you'll say, okay, I'm selling you 10 behemos. So it's certainly something that is sometimes counted or that's often counted. But is it something that's always counted? So I understand you're going to say it's not batel if you hold that the geder of davar shebeminyan is even something that's sometimes counted. Good, so then there's not going to be batel because this is sometimes counted as well. But if you hold the geder of davar shebeminyan is something that's always counted, well, this isn't always counted, so then you're going to be stuck. You're going to be stuck with akasha. The number one example in practical halacha that we have of things that are sometimes counted are eggs. right? Or eggs a davar shemini. If you have an egg that's not kosher, that gets mixed in with other eggs, so the way we buy eggs, it's always davar shemini. We buy it by the dozen. Dozen is counted. If you open a box of eggs in the supermarket to check that they're all whole, and one of them is not whole or one is missing, you'll take a different box because you're buying a dozen eggs. You're not buying 11 eggs. But when they sell to, let's say, Entenmann's, or they sell to any of these large companies, they sell just, they don't sell by the number. They sell by the, I don't know, by the pound, by the ton, whatever it is. That's why also, Rav Shachter used to always point out to us, that's why in the supermarket, whenever you buy eggs, the varieties are large, extra large, and jumbo. Right, whatever happened to all the medium and the small eggs? So it's not just marketing. There actually are medium and small eggs. Consumers don't want those. So those all go to to Entenmann's and to those kinds of factories where they just break them up anyway. And they're not so concerned with the numbers. That there's nafkamina in that in terms of figuring out shiurim when you're trying to figure out a shiur kibetza. So do you assume that extra large is or whatever extra extra large is medium is an average size egg, or do you assume that a large is an average? So what do you assume is really an average size egg when you try to figure out the shiurim? Tosus over here asks another kasha. Wait a second. We had four exceptions to the rule of bittul of bittul barov. So the Gemara raises the issue of davar shebeminyan. Frak Tosus, what about chaticha ruy l'skabed? There's another din that chaticha ruy l'skabed is not batel. The Gemara in Chulin explicitly tells us that if you have a chaticha, the Gemara in Chulin daf kuf, if you have a chaticha that's a piece of meat that's ro'i, that's large enough and nice enough to be mechabed a guest with, so then it's not going to be batel barov because it's very chashuv. So over here you have a full animal. You know how many pieces of meat there are in a cow? So you have a full big animal. Isn't that a chaticha ruy l'skabed? So forget it. Meaning Tosfos keeps on being bothered because the Gemara asks, why don't we say bittul barov? And the Gemara goes to like probably the last one the last of the heterim you would have cheshbon. We said of the four chumras of when we don't say bittul barov. So the Gemara thinks of the idea of davar shebeminyan. What about chaticha ruy l'skabed? What about beria? So beria we dealt with. So Tosfos asks, what about chaticha ruy l'skabed? Isn't an animal at least a chaticha ruy l'skabed, a behema shlema? So Tos says that a behema shlema is certainly at least a chaticha ruy l'skabed, and therefore certainly not batel. It's even better than a chaticha ruy l'skabed, because even if you hold a davar shadarka limnos is batel, a shor niskal is not batel, and the gemara's kasha is that it's mashma from the pashtos of the mishnah, the chatos hamesos, that even if it happens in a chatos ha'of, from the Chataos HaMesos, that it gets mixed in with other birds. That's the Gemara's Holkasha. He says, so says Tosfos, that when it comes to a Shara Niskal, you're right. Of course, it's always a Chatichuri L'Skai, but it's never going to be Batal. The Gemara never was bothered by that. The Gemara didn't ask on that V'niftal Baruba. By a Shara Niskal, of course it's not going to be Batal. It's Chatichuri L'Skai. That wasn't the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara's Kasha was on Chataos HaMesos, and Chata sometimes comes in the form of an oaf. An oaf could be very tiny. So it could be so tiny that there's not enough meat on it to be mechabed and oreach with. So it could be that's the Gemara's whole kasha, Tosa says. The Gemara's whole kasha about why don't we say it's batel barov is only talking about an oaf that's so tiny that it doesn't even fit the category of chaticha ruy l'skabed. A major rukimta to make in the Gemara. But that's how Tosa understands, because he says otherwise, if you're dealing with a behemoth, of course it's a chaticha ruy l'skabed. So it's not so, of course, and not all the Rishonim think it's so obvious. The Ritva Maseches Yevamos and Daf Pei Aleph and Maseches Chul and Daf Kuf, the Rashban Taras Habayis, Bais, Dalit, Charbeis, say that no, chaticha ruy l'skabed is only by a chaticha that you would actually serve to a guest. If you invite company over and you bring out a cow and you give it to them, well, what am I supposed to do with this? That's not a way to be mechabed and oreach. They have to learn all of Hilchas Shechita and Melicha, and they have to, and then Hilchas Treifas. There's so much to do before they're able to do anything with the cow. That's not a chaticha ruy l'skabed. You can't be mechabed. It's much bigger. There are lots of delicious steaks in that cow. Great. How am I supposed to get any of them? So chaticha ruy l'skabed is when it's really right to be mechabed and oreach with. That's how the Rashba and the Ritva understand the geder of chaticha haruy l'skabed. Some even say that it has to be cooked. That in order to be chaticha haruy l'skabed, it needs to mamish be cooked, really to be ready to be given to a guest. Okay, so that's why perhaps the animal over here, in our case, the full animal, does not have a din of chatichori l'skavit. So anyway, so says the Gemara. So the Gemara again is in the middle of asking a question. The truth is, we're not really going to answer this question on today's daf, because the rest of the daf is just expounding or showing what the basis of the question is. All we did is we asked, why don't you say the animal, the shara niskal, or the chatas hamesa in our Mishnah, is batal barov? So the Gemara had said, well, maybe you're not going to say it's batal barov because it's a davar shabiminyan. So the Gemara is saying, well, that's great if you hold the davar shabiminyan is things that are sometimes counted, but if you hold that a davar shabiminyan is things that are always counted, then still it should be batal barov because this is not always counted. So the Gemara is just going to show where we have such a machlokas about the definition of davar shabiminyan. Where do we ever find that there's a machlokas whether davar shabiminyan is something that is sometimes counted or something that is always counted? So Ditnan, we have a mission that says as follows: Misha Hayilo Chavile Tilton Shel Kilei Akerem. Someone has fenugreek of Kilei Akerem. It's one of the Rosh Hashanah things that one of the Simanim, right? The Chavile Tilton of Kilei Akerem. So what does it mean of Kilei Akerem? It means you planted your fenugreek too close to a vineyard. You planted it within dalet amos of a vineyard, and it grew together. So it's Asur Ba'anah. It's Kilei Akerem. So the halacha is Yidluku. You have to burn the whole thing. Nisarvu Ba'acherim Ba'acherim Ba'acherim. But if it gets mixed in with others, and then others get mixed in with others, now there's a parenthesis around the Ba'acherim Ba'acherim. We're going to discuss in a moment why we might take out those words, but either way, you have this fenugreek of Kilei Akerem, but then it gets mixed in with a large mixture. So kulan yidlaku divra meir. Meir says it's all got to be burnt, even though it's a full bundle of fenugreek. The whole thing has to be burnt. It's not going to be batel, even though it's mixed in so many other pieces. The chamomrim yalu be'echad masayim, and the chamim say no, it's batel b'masayim, that the dinim of bittul do apply to it. Now, normally, by most Yisurim, we have a bittul, din of bittul b'shishim, right? Or bittul b'rov midar raisa, b'shishim midar abanan. But over here, if it's lach b'lach and yoltam kikr is daraisa, then bittul b'shishim might be daraisa. But over here, we require a higher level of bittul. When it comes to Kilei Akerem, we're more machmir, bittul needs to be b'masayim. But nevertheless, that's a significant kula in contrast to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds that I don't care how much it's mixed in with, there's not going to be a din of bittul over here. So why? What's it based on? Shrei Rabbi Meir Omer, because Rabbi Meir said, kol shadar kol limnos mekadesh. Rabbi Meir says anything that you sometimes count, then it's going to be asur. It's not going to have a din of bittul. The chum romim eino mekadesh al shishu dvarim b'vad. The chum say no. The only time bittul is going to be, the laws of bittul are going to be suspended on account of the fact that something is so chashuv that you would count it, is in six cases. Rabbi Kiva Omer Shiva. Rabbi Kiva says seven cases that we can think of. Ve'elu, and what do all these cases have in common? What they all have in common is that they're extremely chashuv, right? That they are things that are so big and so valuable that they're so chashuv that they can't become batel. Now the machlokas that we're going to have about esh shadarko or kol shadarko is only within Rav Meir shita. Rav Meir says things that are counted can't become batel, but something that's not counted can become batel. Question is what he means by things that are counted. So we're going to see soon. It's machlokas amoraim within the shita of Rav Meir. We just have to mention the shita of the Chachamim as well, because we're mentioning the whole Brisa. So the Chachamim say there are only six or seven things that are too chashuv, nothing to do with counting, that are just too chashuv to possibly become batel. And they are egoze perech, machlokes rishonim, what that means, whether perech is the place that it's from, or egoze, that's how Rashi understands, Tosfos understands, that it's a type of egozim that has a very soft shell, where it's nifrach, where it just crumbles, where the shell just crumbles. Rimone bada, the Rimonim of Badan, the Chaviostumos, closed barrels, the Chilfe Tradim, and beets, and the Kilche Karov, and cabbage stalks, Udalas, Yavanis, and Greek gourds. So all those things are so chashuv they can never be batel. Rabbi Kiva Mosef, Af Kikar Shel Balabais. Rabbi Kiva says Kikar Shel Balabais also belong on the list. Haroila Arla Arla. That which is, meaning of those items on the list, some of them are fruits, and arlo is something that's only shaykh to fruits of a tree. So of those six or seven items we just mentioned, those that are roi to be arla, even if they get mixed in with tens of thousands of other ones, they are not going to become batel. They are arla. Haroi l'kilei kerem, kilei kerem. And any of those things that get mixed with a vineyard, right, that could be subject to the isra of kilei kerem, so it would be kilei kerem, would not become batel. But bottom line is v'itmar Allah. So it was said on this machlokas between Rav Meir and the Chacham, specifically on the sheet of Rav Meir. What did Rav Meir mean when he said darko limnos mekadesh, that if it's something that's counted, it's not going to become batel? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, esh shadarko limnos sheninu, Rabbi Shimon Lakish Amar, kol shadarko limnos sheninu. So there you have it. Machlokas amoraim, whether it's something that's always counted, or something that's sometimes counted. So hanichal reish lakish al Rabbi Yochanan ma'ikal lemeimar. So if you hold that anything that's sometimes counted is already chashuv, can't become batel, so great, then I understand why the bali chayim in our Mishnah, why the animals, the karbanos in our Mishnah, the chatos hamesos, the shor niskal in our Mishnah cannot become batel because they are sometimes counted. But if you hold that it's dafka things that are always counted, well, these aren't things that are always counted. So why shouldn't they become batel in our Mishnah? That is the kasha. So essentially, our entire daf, like I mentioned before, it's the kind of daf you could do in 4 minutes or you could do in 4 months, because that the whole daf is just that one kasha. Why don't we say batel barov? Oh, because you're going to tell me it's a davrshem minyan, so we can't say batel barov. That depends on how you define davrshem minyan. If davrshem minyan is something that's sometimes counted, you're right, I understand that it's not going to be batel barov. But if davrshem minyan is something that's always counted, then you're not right. Then it should be batel barov. The answer we'll probably not even get to today, because there's a lot to discuss over here. We mentioned in the Brisa this arvu ba'acherim va'acherim ba'acherim. Now, what was the case of kilei akerem? You have chavilei tiltan. They get mixed in with acherim. They get mixed in with other things, and then those other things get mixed in with other things. Right? So kilei akerem gets mixed in twice. Now, according to that girsa, what it sounds like it's saying is the following: that I have one stalk, one bundle of stuff that's kilei akerem gets mixed in with, let's say, 100 other bundles, and then I take one bundle from that mixture. I don't know which one. I take one bundle from that mixture, and that gets mixed in with a whole bunch of other bundles. That's what it sounds like it's talking about. That from the Tarovas Hashniya, that it's really a din, it sounds like it's a din of Svek Sveka. That anything that I take out now from that final mixture is a Svek Sveka. Suffek, maybe it's the one that fell into this mixture from the original mixture, and even if it is the one that fell into this mixture from the original mixture, maybe that wasn't the one that was originally Aser. Right? That's what it sounds like. Now, why do we so resist this girsa? Why does Tosfos Rabbeinu Tam not like this girsa? Because the Gemara later on in Daf Ayin Dalet, in a couple of days from now, on Sunday's Daf, is going to say that Shmuel holds Shmuel is going to discuss, the Amora Shmuel is going to discuss this kind of case with Yisurei Hana of Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara brings a raya to Shmuel Shita from a Braisa, and over here you have a Mefurish Adin in the Mishnah where it says that it's Asur, where it says that it's no good, and the Gemara never mentions this is a raya to Shmuel. So Tal says it would be too great an omission if these words actually are supposed to appear in the Mishnah of Acherim Ba'Acherim. It can't be that the Gemara would skip it, that the Gemara would leave it out later on. The Sefer Taras HaKodesh, when the Achronim rejects this Raya, based on the Rashba, unbelievable Ha'ara he has. The Rashba writes in a famous tshuva that what's the lumdus of Svek Sveka? Why does Svek Sveka work? That when you have a double suffix, all of a sudden it becomes mutter. So there's a major machlokas in the Rishonim. The way they interpret the Rambam is that the Rambam understands that the very idea of suffix d'arayis al-chumra itself is only a din d'rabbanan. So when you have a suffix on a suffix d'arayis al-chumra, what you really have is a suffix d'rabbanan. So when you have a Svek Sveka, it's by definition a Svek Rabbanan. The Rashba, however, writes, no, that the heter of Svek Sveka is Midin Rov. What exactly he means that it's Midin Rov is not abundantly clear, because it's not a statistical Rov. Right? Meaning, because after all, think about it, we're dealing with something that if it fell into 10,000 other pieces, it would not become batel. But what, when it falls in twice, now it becomes so it's not a statistical, rove, but it's midin rove, the way they say it over, rove possibilities. right? You have possibility A, possibility B, and even if it's B, you have possibility C, possibility D. So three out of four potential outcomes are okay by Svek Sveika. So that's how Svek Sveika works. Now, we're trying to say this within Shita of Rabbi Meir over here, right? We said, Kula Yidluku Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir happens to be the one that holds Cheshina Lemiyuta, that we don't follow Rov. So what he suggests is that maybe the reason why the Gemara doesn't quote this is because according to Rabbi Meir Shita, you're not going to have a heter Svek Sveika, and that's not going to therefore be a raya to the fact that Rabbi Meir is Machmir. It's because Rabbi Meir is Cheshina Lemiyuta. That's not going to be a raya to Shmuel. Shmuel certainly holds a Svek Sveika. Maybe that's why we leave it out. But anyway, Rabbeinu Tam thinks that maybe that's why we don't mention this Mishnah in the context of Shmuel. But Rabbeinu Tam thinks that no, this Mishnah must have not had the words Acherim Bacherim, because it would be too glaring an omission from the sugi about of Shmuel. Tosa says that even the Tana, then Tosa goes in the other direction, he says even the Tana that assers a Svek Sveka B'Tarovas later on, maybe that's only by Chashva things like Rimone Badan that the Gemara is going to be speaking about, but something that's not Chashva as Rimone Badan, even though they're Batal in the original Taroves, if one of the original Taroves falls into the, even though they're not Batal in the original Taroves, if one of the original Taroves falls into another Taroves, it's not going to asser, it will still be Mutter Mitam Svek. So the other reason not to be garisid is that maybe it's not true. I mean, the first reason not to be garisid is that if it were so obvious in the Mishnah, it should have been brought as a raya to Shmuel. Second reason not to be garisid acherim b'acherim is that maybe it's not true. Maybe Shmuel's only din was by things that are very, very chashuv. Over here, we're not dealing with something that's that chashuv. The chavili tilton aren't that chashuv, and maybe this din wouldn't be true. Maybe if Itaka was a situation of svek sveka, it would actually be mutter. That's why there are rishonim that explain Yesh Mefarshim in Tosfos, that Acherim B'Acherim doesn't actually mean Svek Sveka. What Acherim B'Acherim, unbelievable, it says, means that I have one Chavili Tilton of Kilei Akerem that falls into, let's say, 10 Chavili Tilton that are not Kilei Akerem, and then all 11 of those fall into another Tarovas, fall into another 50. So now I know for sure the one that's Kilei Akerem is in the Tarovas, so it's not a Svek Sveka, it's only one Suffolk. So that's the Chiddush of Acherim B'Acherim. That's what it means, Acherim B'Acherim. The problem, of course, if you interpret Acherim B'Acherim that way, is that if I have one thing of Kilei Akerem that falls into 150 something else, right, of Heter, so I know that that's not Batel. So why is there an additional Chiddush that if I have one that falls into 10 and then all 11 fall into another 50? That's not batal. Of course, it's not batal. Meaning, it's at the end of the day, you have one in 60 or whatever it is. So, of course, that's not batal. Why would I ever have a havamina otherwise? That the havamina, to the contrary, is very difficult. So, what they suggest is, if you learn ksubas daf tezvav, you see that sometimes having a second rov, even though statistically it doesn't make that much of a difference, having a second rov matters in halacha. You talk about a woman who the Gemara talks about a woman who was raped, Rahman al-Islam. So you don't know who the rapist was. Was he a Jew? Was he a non-Jew? And there are going to be halachic ramifications, l'gabe heter l'kuhuna, and things of that nature. So the Gemara says, well, we look at the rov of the people that are in that place, that live in that place, and we also look at the rov of the people that travel through that place. What difference does it make? Is a rove or a rove? I mean, you just look at the... No, but apparently the fact that you have two roves that you, by two different names, somehow is going to make a difference in certain circumstances. Is that clock right? Is my clock right? All right, okay. We'll stop there. A lot more good Torah here. Save it for a different time. Yeah.